This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
All right, now get this. Science matters to politics, the economy, and our future, but do Americans really understand and appreciate that? The U.S. scientists lead the world in scientific breakthroughs, but it often seems that people barely notice or even care. Scientists were once cultural heroes after rising to the challenges of World War II and the post-Sputnik era, but since then they have slipped off the radar, and few Americans today can even name a living scientist role model. The new book is Unscientific America, How Scientific Illiteracy Threatens Our Future. Chris Mooney and Cheryl Kirshenbaum. Chris Mooney joins us live on the long line. Chris, congratulations on the new book. It's a fantastic subject, and I've really been looking forward to talking to you.
Thanks a bunch.
Absolutely. Chris, of course, is a contributing editor to Science Progress, the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Republican War on Science, and Stormworld, Hurricanes, Politics, and the battle over global warming. He lives in Princeton. And so tell me first where the book came from. I'm curious, when you're coming off your last project and you write all the time for the internet and magazines, when did you realize that scientific illiteracy was a subject that demanded a book?
Well, I developed a blogging relationship with Cheryl Kirshenbaum, who's a young marine scientist, and we started working together a number of projects, and one of them was the attempt to get science into the 2008 presidential election through a campaign called Science Debate 2008, where we unified just thousands of people who care about science to support the idea that the candidates should discuss and debate it. And we never did get them to do it, but we got their written answers, and we rallied a lot of people. And that got us thinking, you know, why is it that we can't get science through to the politicians? Why are they afraid to discuss it, basically? And out of that process came the idea that we should do a book about it.
And what have you learned? I mean, what's the message of the book?
The message of the book is that we have a wonderful, talented community of scientists in America who lead the world, but they're also walled off from everybody else, and it's partly by their own doing and partly by everybody else's doing. So we have a two cultures divide, and both sides need to reach across. And the book puts a little bit of extra burden on the scientists simply because they know when their knowledge isn't getting through. Most people don't realize what they're missing. But the scientists are like, I can't believe the media's got it wrong. I can't believe the politicians have got it wrong. So we say, well, let's focus on how to communicate science. We know how to do research. We're really good at that. Look at our results. But do we know how to get people who aren't scientists to understand and appreciate? And there we don't do so good.
Yeah, it's almost like scientists need to take some media 101 lessons, right?
They do. And now I teach some of those lessons as well. But some of them are excellent, right? And it isn't rocket science either to learn how to do communication. It's actually far easier in many ways than some of the stuff that they already do. And that might be one reason it's sometimes looked down upon in scientific circles.
Yeah, well, I remember when I was in grad school, and granted it was anthropology and not physics, but there was a certain sense in which, you know, going media or going public with a lot of your stuff was sort of poo-pooed, and that's, you know, you find that in the academy.
Yep, it's a recurrent theme of science communicators like Carl Sagan, Jared Diamond. These people get a lot of flack from their colleagues, and yet they're out there doing something pretty important. So what is it about that, and can we change the culture so that that doesn't happen anymore?
Yeah. Now, we're talking with Chris Mooney. The new book is Unscientific America. That's one side of the problem. The other side of the problem is all the Americans who've sort of turned science off for whatever reason. It's not sexy. It's not interesting. They'd rather, you know, stare at Britney Spears' belly button or talk about Tom Cruise's love life or whatever. But it's also our responsibility to learn more. Tell us what we need to do, and why is this really important?
I think we need to see knowing about science as a core part of citizenship. It's a citizen's responsibility to be informed. It doesn't mean you have to know every, you know, the different kinds of subatomic particles. But what it does mean is you need to know about where your tax dollars go when it comes to funding scientific research. You need to know about the science underlying contemporary debates like climate change. You need to know about the importance of science in driving the economy because innovation is a key factor in economic growth. Everybody should know these things. Everybody should be engaged on these points.
Chris Mooney is the co-author, along with Cheryl Kirschenbaum, of Unscientific America. Chris, as you're talking, you mentioned climate change, and I am often so bothered by people who will go outside and say, you know, oh, it's a cold spring or it's a cold, wet spring, therefore global warming doesn't exist. They don't have any awareness or distinction that there's a difference between climate and weather. They don't get that. They think they're the same things, and they also don't appreciate the fact that the climate warming or the climate heating, a better way to put it, is going to not necessarily mean that everybody gets warmer. It means the weather's going to be screwed up all over the place. Some places might be warmer, some places might be colder.
Yeah, this just goes to show you, you know, scientists have been sounding the alarm about this going back decades, and especially it was put on the political radar very prominently in 1988, so 20 years ago. And yet even today, the polling says that 84% of scientists think it's real and human caused, and only 49% of the public follows. So this is a great example of how scientists can become so far away from everybody else, and everybody else just doesn't get it. And the question why they don't get it is a complicated one, but I would point fingers at the media, which has covered global warming in not accurate ways, if at all, a lot of the time. I would point fingers, obviously, at politics, because it turns out that not accepting global warming correlates closely with being a member of the Republican Party. It's part of, you know, we don't follow Al Gore as kind of part of the Republican identity. But there's a number of factors here, and it's really the worst case of scientific illiteracy hurting us.
Yeah. We're talking with best-selling author Chris Mooney. Chris, you're one of the leading journalists in America that really documented the Bush White House's war on science. I mean, to an egregious degree. I mean, muzzling scientists and cutting funding for things that they just disagreed with politically. Taking a hardline stance on scientific research in many areas. How does that change with a new administration? And what might those effects be vis-a-vis scientific illiteracy in America?
Well, the good news here is that the Obama administration has completely changed course on such matters. Not just that, I mean, they're staffing the government in leadership positions with people who were slamming the Bush administration on science, like John Holdren. He's now the president's science advisor, someone I interviewed for my first book, Republican War on Science. David Michael, someone else I interviewed, is going to be heading up OSHA. So you've got all these people now running things, and they're not only stamping out those kinds of problems, but the policy positions have changed on climate, on stem cells, the two hottest button issues during the Bush administration for science, and because the policies have changed, you're not going to have the same kind of conflicts. So that's the good news. And the president himself, you know, in his inaugural address, extolled science, extolled curiosity, the importance of, you know, just wanting to know. All this is wonderful. I mean, there's a limit to how much you can do when you've got a country where a lot of people just don't know much, and a lot of people don't have it on the radar. So they can't solve the whole problem, but this is one of the brightest areas.
Yeah. Chris Mooney is co-author of Unscientific America, the new book. It's How Scientific Illiteracy Threatens Our Future. Chris, there's also the extent to which lobbying groups and think tanks that are funded by industry, can send out these press releases and email blasts. And then the extent of the science that people know is what they want them to know. And we're really seeing that on both sides of the debate when it comes to healthcare reform.
Yeah, this is what's also disturbing, and we talk about this in the book, is that really we have everybody creating their own expertise. And it's often not the scientist's expertise, it's expertise in quotes. You know, and if you're a conservative, then you've got your think tanks to go to, and you got your TV stations to go to, Fox, and you got your radio stations to go to, and you can get a whole different reality there from what if you're a liberal. And if we can't agree on the facts, we know we can't agree on religion, we know we can't agree on ethics. Surely, if we're going to agree on anything, it's just the knowledge that science gives us, the baseline understanding that we then can debate upon. But no, now we can't even agree about that anymore.
Yeah. I'm reminded of the words of Thomas Jefferson when he created the University of Virginia, which is about 3 miles from where I'm sitting. Mm-hmm. He said, "For here we are not afraid to follow the truth, no matter where it may lead." That was his dream for America,
yeah.
That it would be a country where you just wouldn't be afraid of the facts.
Oh, well. We have a long way to go.
Now, you mentioned religion. We're talking with best-selling author Chris Mooney, and you devote a section of the book to this very idea of the backlash against some in religious circles against science in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we have a really bad situation here. The science and religion battle just won't go away. It's incredibly fraught and painful. And, you know, it starts with the fundamentalists rejecting evolution, trying to prevent it being taught in schools and telling their followers that you can't accept evolution because it's an assault on our religious identity. And so you got something like half the country or close to it that won't accept it. And we have almost no progress making inroads into them and trying to open their minds up. And that's a terrible, terrible situation to be in. But then, you know, the scientific community gets really angry about this, understandably so. But we actually say that some people in science go too far. And the way they go too far is under the banner of science, attacking sort of all religion and saying that that's the problem. Whereas, in fact, it's not the problem. The problem is a misconception, a particular kind of religion that tells people that it's in conflict with science. And that's not everybody's view on religion. So we need all the allies we can get. And in fact, we can work with many religious leaders to try to get people to accept evolution more broadly.
So science and religion in America are compatible?
They can be. I can give you many people who would say that they are in their own lives. And, you know, some people would say, oh, they're just kidding themselves. They're just reconciling incompatible things. But it works for people.
Yeah. What's your thoughts? I know you write in the book about the new atheist movement, Sam Harris et al.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're the ones I'm talking about when I say some people in science or attached to science are going too far. In other words, the new atheists reject the idea that compatibility is possible, and they also just sort of, you know, take a very offensive tone, many of them, toward religious believers. And they do it all, you know, under the banner of science and reason. And what we say is, you know, okay, I understand why you're mad about religion, and I personally happen to be an atheist, so I really understand where they're coming from. But, you know, let's think seriously here. What do we want to achieve, and how are we going about doing it? And I think that the people in the trenches dealing with the anti-evolutionist day-to-day, like the National Center for Science Education, they have learned some lessons about how to deal with these folks. And one of the lessons is that you make allies with religious people. You don't just bash all of them.
Right, right. It's not necessary to go that far.
Yes.
You mentioned religious education. What needs to be done in the schools, beginning in grade school, when it comes to the scientific illiteracy that is really, as you point out in your book quite well, is crippling America in so many profound ways?
Well, so education is sort of the gigantic mess that's definitely part of this. And there's a wild number of theories about what the problem is. So you see, some people say, we don't have enough scientifically trained teachers. Some people just say, we don't pay our teachers well enough, period. I think both are true. Some people say, you know, the kids are really into science up to about sixth grade. Then their hormones go out of control, we lose them. And when we lose them, it's because they come to us and they're just saying, science is just memorization. It's not for me. It's too hard for me. Or they say they say similar things. So there's a lot of issues there. And my sense is that whether the teachers have science backgrounds or not, is not as crucial. I mean, it depends. Some teachers will benefit from it, but sometimes science makes it harder for you to simplify and break things down. And what we really need in education is teachers who can not only teach the facts, but make kids see why it matters and make it resonate for their lives and make them see that it's not something strange and alien to them.
Yeah, but of course, as you well know, not everybody can be a Bill Nye, and make science so frigging exciting and fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we need to put a premium on those people, and that's the thing. I mean, the educational system should value those people a lot more. There's a lot of young people going through the scientific ranks, going through the training process right now, who are full of this energy and enthusiasm, and I think that if we could just have careers for them. Going into science education and make it, a career where you can make a good living, then that would be a jolt of new life and some really talented people.
Yeah, and I guess this will be the final thing, and then I'll let you go. I know you're busy, but that's one of the key things here that is perhaps the most important point of the whole book is if we can turn this around and make Americans more appreciative and more literate when it comes to science, the potential of what that means for this country is enormous.
Absolutely. Not only will we not bungle issues like global warming, where we've done nothing for 20 years, but we'll be ahead of the curve dealing with the next set of issues that are coming, because scientists know what's coming as well as anyone does.
Yeah.
They can see the implications of their research turned into technology and then causing problems. So we got to get everybody else attuned to that.
Right, right. And there are other cultures in the world who are so far ahead of us when it comes to this. They're cultures that appreciate science and demand that their children are scientific literate when it comes to science.
Yeah, because they know that's the future. They know that's how their countries are going to thrive.
Chris Mooney is the co-author, along with Cheryl Kirshenbaum, of the new book, Unscientific America, How Scientific Illiteracy Threatens Our Future. Chris, always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.